Checking on the Arts is made possible by the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. Quick, name a famous paleontologist. If you say Dr. Alan Grant, you're disqualified. One way that you can get to be a famous paleontologist is to be involved with the most famous dinosaur, and that, of course, is the Tyrannosaurus Sue. My guest today was one of the people involved in digging up Sue and went through all of the various legal skullduggery and other things that you have probably heard about in relation to that dinosaur. That might put you off dinosaur hunting, but not Neil Larson. He went back and dug up several more tyrannosaurs. And you're saying, Daryl, why are you telling us all this? Because Neil Larson is in town today, and he is going to be assembling another tyrannosaur, Stan, at the Memphis Pink Palace Museum. And you can go down there from noon to 5 today and watch him do it. And it's great to have you here, Dr. Larson. Thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you very much.
Tell us about Stan.
Stan is a really great dinosaur. He was discovered originally in 1987 by Stan Sakrasin, a young man who's my age, living here in Buffalo, South Dakota. He found bones weathering out of a bank, went and started to excavate on them, and he soon became discouraged because the bones were in a very hard rock, hard concretion. Well, he went down to the South Dakota School of Mines, brought back a paleontologist who, by the way, had collected a T-Rex, and showed him the bones. Well, that paleontologist misidentified the skeleton. He said it's nothing more than another articulated triceratops skeleton. And Stan Sakrasin became disillusioned. Oh, just another articulated triceratops skeleton. By the way, there had never been an articulated triceratops skeleton ever found at that yet by that time. It wasn't until 1994 that half of a skeleton articulated was found. So he became disillusioned. 1990, we discovered and collected Sue the T-Rex, and it was soon after that that Stan Sakrasin came and told us that he had an articulated skeleton in the ground that maybe we wanted to look at. My brother got all excited, went out, looked at the skeleton, got about 100 feet away from it, and said, "Holy S, another T-Rex. We went out in April of 1992 and began excavation. It was April 14th, 1992. And during that time, we had 3 weeks of excavation. We started out with digging in 60s and 70-degree weather. Snowstorm came through for 3 days. Temperature plummeted down into the teens. And then we resumed excavation. And then we had big rains, a couple inches, did a lot of damage. But before the dig was over, we had 90-degree-plus weather, sandstorms, dust storms, hail. All, you name the weather. We had it in those 3 weeks. Got back home and had Stan with us for a week before the famous dinosaur Sue came and was seized by the U.S. government. But we had a contract originally with a museum in Japan to prepare Sue and take her on tour. Sue was also donated to a nonprofit 501c3 museum, the Black Hills Museum of Natural History. And this particular museum in Japan that wanted to tour Sue said, "Well, then we'll pay you to prepare Stan." Had Sue not gone, we never would have prepared Stan, at least not for several more years. And it was during the preparation of Stan that gave us sanity during the Sue conflict. We would work on Stan all day long, sometimes into the night, and it was very refreshing. Stan was in hard rock. Stan was in extremely hard carbonate limestone. He had died in a creek bed sometime in the winter or the fall, during the last days of the Cretaceous, and he was buried by sand, and a few inches above him were a thick layer of fossil leaves, which many of them were described as new leaves. But as Stan, after he had laid in the ground, some of his bones became disarticulated and drifted downstream. The preparation of Stan took us about with preparing, cleaning, restoring, molding and casting Stan and mounting Stan took us about 30,000 hours.
Wow.
You can say wow. Most people work 9 to 5, 8 hours a day for about 50 weeks a year. You do the math, that's 2,000 hours a year. Only take away your vacations, it becomes less than that. Take away your noon and lunch breaks, it becomes less than that. The average time a child spends in school from the time they're in kindergarten until the time they graduate from high school, if they don't fail, is somewhere around 14,700, 14,800 hours.
Wow.
So you're looking at two lifetimes for some of those kids spent in the preparation and mounting of this dinosaur. But Stan, we never realized how good Stan was until we prepared him.
Mm-hmm.
His skull was disarticulated. Sue's was articulated but crushed. Stan's was disarticulated. It means that almost no two bones from his skull, which there are around 50 of them, were together when we collected him. Well, this meant that Stan's skull was uncrushed. And when we went to put Stan's skull back together and you put the bones back together, we learned more about Tyrannosaurus rex and their skulls from this particular animal than we could learn from any of the others that had ever been found before. It showed us the strength in Tyrannosaurus rex's jaws, which were the most powerful land animal that's yet been found.
Mm-hmm.
The crushing strength in Tyrannosaurus rex jaws is unbelievable, and I forget how many pounds per square inch they had, but it's more powerful than any living alligator, crocodile, or any past. We learned that the skull of Tyrannosaurus rex was kinetic. It could expand almost like a snake.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The lower jaws were not connected at all in the middle, which allowed for the uneven biting. Tyrannosaurus rex bit completely through bones. There was one bone found with Stan that did not belong to Tyrannosaurus rex. That was the tibia or shin bone from a triceratops. Both ends were bitten off. Now, whether or not Stan had it in his belly at the time of its death or in its throat, we don't know. It was not found associated with skull bones, but was found about 8 to 10 feet away along with another skull bone and with a near tail vertebrae. Mm. Could have been that it was dislodged from the throat of Stan by another T-Rex performing the Heimlich maneuver, but it wasn't good enough for Stan to survive. He ended up dying, fell in a creek, and his bones drifted away. So the most important bones of Stan that were never found were any arm bones.
Hmm.
Sue the Tyrannosaurus rex had nearly a complete arm, had a complete arm and most of the hand, missing one claw from the hand. That same year that Sue was found, MOR-555 from the Museum of the Rockies was found. It had most of the left arm, Sue had most of the right arm.
Mm-hmm.
The one from the Museum of the Rockies was missing both claws and a couple other finger bones, but nearly it was the most complete until Sue. Led me to speculate that the government back in the Cretaceous was in the process of disarming all T-Rexes. And that's kind of upheld. There have been about 47 different Tyrannosaurus rexes that have been found to date. There's never been a complete arm. Sue had the most complete until Pex Rex. Pex Rex had parts of both arms and most of one arm and hand. And that was another controversial Tyrannosaurus Rex. It seems that if you're talking about T-Rex, everybody wants to get involved,
which goes
back to what's going on right now with a tarbosaur called Tyrannosaurus bitar from Mongolia, too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always going to be controversy because, let's face it, Tyrannosaurs are big, they're famous. They're the rock stars of the dinosaurs.
Absolutely. We're talking with Dr. Neil Larson about Stan, which will be, he'll be assembling it at the Pink Palace today from noon to 5, and you can come by and watch. We should mention that this is not the actual dinosaur bones themselves. This is a casting, which is if you go and see a dinosaur in a museum, unless you go to a very few places that have them on display, you will see castings of the original bones.
That way more people can see them.
More people can see them. Currently mounted on display, original T-Rexes in the world. There is one at the British Museum in London that was sold to them by the American Museum. There is one at the Carnegie Museum in Pittsburgh that was sold to them by the American Museum. There's one at the American Museum, 5027, which was the most complete Tyrannosaurus rex until MOR-555 and Sue and Stan, and another one from South Dakota called Samson. And
But the original Stan is on display.
Is on display in Hill City, South Dakota. And we made molds and casts of Stan, and he is shared with museums around the world. He is seen more by people every day than any other dinosaur. But he also has more scientific papers written on him than any other dinosaur, partially because there are more casts of him. But also there is more to learn from him, and he is more available to scientists than they are normally from other museums.
We were talking earlier about the skull, and one of the things that the skull and other parts of the skeleton show is a lot of damage from fights.
Yes, Tyrannosaurus rexes got into a lot of fights. Maybe not so many with other dinosaurs, other types of dinosaurs, but just like we humans, we have boxing matches, we have wrestling matches and everything else. Apparently, Tyrannosaurus rexes had the same. And their arms weren't so long, so they couldn't punch each other. And as a result, they ended up fighting each other with their heads, with their mouths. So you'll find love bites across the with holes on the lower jaws. You'll find love bites on the face and on the muzzle. And you'll find on Stan a nice love bite. Apparently he was resting or sleeping, and another one, maybe an older brother, came and took a bite out of the back of his head. Now, that caused a severe pathology. He lost a big section of bone from the crest, which is where the muscles and the tendons from the neck and the body go up and attach to the back of the head. And he's got a hole going through there and a big section of bone missing from the back of his head that he healed from. Well, as he healed from it, he had limited movement in his neck, and he had two neck vertebrae that completely fused together into one in the lower portion. The upper portion, they still look like two. But it shows us interaction and how dinosaurs really competed with each other. And as we start looking at other Tyrannosaurus, especially Tyrannosaurus rex, there was no other animal, no other predator on the planet that was that large at the time. Mm-hmm. Tyrannosaurus rex is only from North America, though.
Right.
Only from North America. For the southernmost one is from Elephant Butte Lake, or down by Socorro, and Truth or Consequences. And the furthest north one is up between Calgary and Edmonton, Alberta. It's where the furthest north one was found. So they had a large range throughout most of North America. On the western, in the west, because there was a large ocean that went through Tennessee, mm-hmm. up into through Kansas and Nebraska and South Dakota, that separated eastern North America from western North America during the Cretaceous time.
Yeah.
So we only find them in the west. They were only present in the Cretaceous now, at that time.
In the west now, of course, it's high desert. It's very dry. It's very inhospitable territory. What was that territory like when T-Rex lived there?
Well, when T-Rex lived in South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, we were seafront property. We were like the Gulf Coast,
uh-huh.
and the climate was very moderate. When we collected Stan, we found large palm fronds lying above his skull region and everything. Now, did T-Rexes come and cover him with palm fronds? Perhaps, but there were also lots of other deciduous plants
like
and leaves. Yeah, lots of other deciduous plants and leaves that were over it. That's why we know that Stan died late, early spring or winter time, only it wasn't a winter with snow. It was just a time for the change of the leaves and the climate. Tyrannosaurus rexes probably were very territorial. We find that Tyrannosaurus rexes with Sioux, we found some other T-Rexes with Sioux. And in some of the kills that we have found, there was a kill of a Triceratops 1998 that we conducted up near Buffalo, near where Stan was found, that had three T-Rex shed teeth with it. And this Triceratops was chewed to heck. Ends of bones gone, vertebrae broken and crushed and missing big parts. We thought we'd have quite a bit of a Triceratops. Ended up we had very little of a Triceratops. But we found three shed T-Rex teeth with it. Tyrannosaurus rex, like lizards, like snakes, like alligators, would shed teeth periodically.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't shed three, four, or five at a time. This shows that there was an interaction. There was probably at least three T-Rexes feeding in a family unit like lions on this particular Triceratops. Tyrannosaurus rex was the king of the jungle back in the Cretaceous. There was another tyrannosaurid called Nanotyrannus, which was the wolf or the hyena of the Cretaceous. We collected in 1998 another Triceratops called Kelsey. We found with that Tyrannosaurus rex, its right rib cage was all broken open. Both front legs were gone, missing the end of the tail. We found 36 shed teeth of a Nanotyrannus with it, which meant that they had big parties. They invited family members. They celebrated Thanksgiving. So we can learn a lot from what we find along with these different fossil discoveries. We find all sorts of interesting things. When we discovered Kelsey, we learned more about Nanotyrannus than we'd ever learned about the skull about anything about Nanotyrannus before that. Thusly, when we find these other dinosaurs, we often learn more about, like with that one Triceratops, we learn more about T-Rex than we're going to learn from a single skeleton of Tyrannosaurus rex.
This is fascinating stuff, and it just seems like every few years something new comes out and we learn something new about these creatures.
Yes, and it makes it really wonderful. My brother is in the process of working on a big monograph on Tyrannosaurus, getting his doctorate at the University of Manchester in England currently. And he has done more research into Tyrannosaurus than most any other paleontologist has done in the past. Dr. Phil Curry, who's now at University of I believe, Alberta or University of Edmonton in Alberta, is probably the only other paleontologist who's done more work on tyrannosaurids than my brother has. But it's an interesting field, the field of dinosaurs. But what we can learn from Stan and what we can learn from others will hopefully help us in the past. But the thing about dinosaurs that's really remarkable and that really is great is that they help get kids interested in science. They help keep adults interested in science. And they can bring so much more. There are so many young people that I know that have really got into education and got into reading because of dinosaurs, because of fossils. And once you discover dinosaurs, you discover a whole new world. You can discover a world that is still, for the most part, undescribed, a world that we can continue to go back into, maybe forget the troubles of the present, but and to go back into that world and learn about it. And that's what makes paleontology one of the most exciting fields there is currently today. You can get away from it all, and you can make discoveries that rival even the greatest paleontologists of the past. There are still enormous discoveries to be made in paleontology.
That's very exciting. How big is Stan?
Stan is just slightly smaller than Sue. He stands, this particular Stan, stands right up 15 feet high. This particular version, he's got his head up. He's proud, and his tail is sticking up in the air, too. He's happy. He's proud. Stan stands about 11 foot 4 inches high in the hips. That's a big dinosaur.
Wow. Yeah.
Big legs. Sue's 11 and a half high in the hips. Stan, by the way, has longer hips than Sue does. But he's 40 feet long.
Okay.
He's a big guy. So that's about as long as a school bus.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. I can't wait to see it. And you can see it today, and you can see it going up from noon to 5 today at the Memphis Pink Palace. See Stan be assembled. It's going to be very exciting. Rhonda Cloud is here from the Pink Palace also. And, Rhonda, we've got something going on here that is kind of interesting and a lot of fun. And the deal is that Stan basically is being loaned at this point, but we want to keep him here.
Yeah, he kind of fell into our lap, and we want to make Stan's home in Memphis at the Pink Palace. And so we are trying to raise funds for it. If you want to sponsor him, if you had a good return from the IRS, then we'd be glad to take that. But we're also going to have a donation box right next to Stan, and anybody can donate. Here's the thing. It makes the Pink Palace just an even more wonderful place to go. And people like Mr. Larson here are the reason that you go to a museum. It's the smart people there because they know things and they are constantly finding out more things. I love working there because I'm just sitting here finding out that T-Rexes were basically human beings. They did all the stuff that we did. And that's why you go, and that's why we want to keep Stan there. Yes, sir? You go right ahead. You jump in.
It was very interesting to say that they're a lot like human beings. Well, one of the interesting things people always imagine, and we're always taught in school, dinosaurs were cold-blooded creatures and that they had little brains. Well, actually, most of them, probably all of them, were warm-blooded creatures. Hmm. They grew fast. Tyrannosaurus rex grew fast. They took care of their young. Like birds, like humans, like even crocodiles take care of their young, but they probably took care of their young for a long time. They lived in family units, and they didn't have tiny pea-sized brains. Tyrannosaurus rex's brain was nearly the size of ours. Very complex brain. Now, as far as memory, most of our brain is for memory and for storage. So everything we see, feel, hear in our life is put up there. Can we access it? Usually not. We have to know how to look for it, how to find it. Tyrannosaurus rex didn't have that big of a storage facility. It was about the size of a walnut for memory storage. But really, what more do you need? They needed to know what was good to eat, where to go finding, how to hunt, how to take care of things. But it's an enormous brain to run that enormous body. And it's very interesting. The more you study tyrannosaurs, the more you study dinosaurs in general, the more fun it is. It really becomes exciting.
It's so fun sitting here listening to you talk about it. And because they, and we always attribute human, you know, attributes to everything, dogs, cats, mice, whatever. But really, it sounds like that we could really understand the T-Rex. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like we're really close.
Yeah. Well, tyrannosaurs, think of them as bird brains. But bird brains, there's a lot of smart ones. Mm-hmm. All the ratites, and they're very closely related to the ratites, which are ostriches, emus, rheas, cassowaries, those type of animals, very, very, very closely. If they had feathers, which they probably did, mm-hmm. probably feathers like an ostrich or an emu on them. So those little arms for Tyrannosaurus rex, which were very short, also very strong. It was calculated that Sue could lift around 1,200 pounds with each arm. Well, they weren't doing any lifting, but they were holding their prey. But if their arms were small, like ostrich arms are very, very tiny, perhaps they were covered with feathers and beautiful plumage, perhaps. We don't know yet. We're waiting to find that Tyrannosaurus that was lying in a calm, still lake bed and buried rapidly. That would
maybe
be the
somebody
best
listening
thing.
Today is going to grow up and be a paleontologist.
Well, I hope so.
And come and discover that.
Come and discover Stan, the T-Rex, at the Memphis Pink Palace. Today from noon to 5, you can watch him going up, and you can also see the other great dinosaur exhibits that are up there now, the South American Argentinian dinosaur that's just gone up. It's great stuff, and I want to be sure. And
it's an Allosaurus, an Argentinosaurus,
Giganotosaurus,
a Giganotosaurus.
Yeah.
And then our own and new animatronic T-Rex.
New animatronic T-Rex. Lots of dinosaurs happenings at the Memphis Pink Palace Museum. Go to memphismuseums.org. You can find all about it. If you'd like to get an advanced look at Stan in your office, you can go to the Black Hills Institute website, which is bhigr.com.
Correct.
And you can see some fascinating films of the excavation there. So that's a lot of fun. My guests today, Dr. Neil Larson and Rhonda Cloud from the Pink Palace. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Checking on the Arts is made possible by contributing listeners and by the Memphis Symphony Orchestra's 2012-2013 season. Highlights include a special performance by Yo-Yo Ma, Holst's The Planets, Beethoven's Symphony No. 7, Mahler's Titan Symphony, and Porgy and Bess. Season ticket information available at 537-2525 or memphissymphony.org.